You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Best and worst of the weekend. More phone calls coming up. We'll check in with the head coach of Army, Jeff Monken. They're 9-2 and not going to a bowl game, and he wants to know why. So he'll join us coming up here shortly. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Cooper in Arkansas joins us this final hour, leading us off. Hi, Cooper. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Coop.
4'8", 76 pounds. My brother and I are trying to get collect autographs. What are some tips for getting autographs? And when you were my age, what were some good autographs you had?
Some good autographs. Let's see. I used to send a letter to teams, and I would just say that I was a big fan or I liked a certain player. If they could sign this, always, always leave a self-addressed stamped envelope. Make it as easy as possible. When I would go to games, I would wait outside of stadiums for players when I was growing up, whether it was the NBA. I went back and I showed this to the Danettes. I have some programs from, I believe it's 1972, and it's the last year the Cincinnati Royals played in the NBA. And I got all of the Lakers, except for Wilt Chamberlain, but Jerry West and Gail Goodrich and Happy Harrison, Bill Sharman. I got all of these autographs. And Pete Maravich, anybody who came in, but I waited outside for them. And I think if you're polite and you're strategic, and if you're going to mail something to somebody, always give a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you're pretty much guaranteed. Even put a picture of yourself in there and just let them know, hey, I'm 10 years old, and I'm Cooper, and I'd love to get your autograph. Yeah, Paulie.
And maybe you could tell the kids out there what happens when you go on a team bus without permission and try to get Wilt Chamberlain's autograph.
That was a bad decision on my part. But I knew this was the last game. The Royals beat the Lakers, I believe, 115-112. And I knew that I would never see Wilt Chamberlain again, at least in my mind. I'm a young kid in Cincinnati, and I go, I got all the other Laker autographs, and I don't have Wilt Chamberlain. And they had lost, and I came outside, and the bus was there. And Wilt was sitting in the front seat. And I thought, well, if I just walk on the bus, I mean, he's right there. He's 10 feet away from me. And I'm with my two friends, Bill Richardson and Zeke Campbell. I said, I'm going on the bus. They're going, what? I said, I'm going on the bus to get Wilt's autograph. I'll never see him again. And I stepped up, first step, and Wilt stood up, 7'1", 250 pounds. Get the bleep off the bus. I went, okay.
And then I step back down. Yeah, like he stands up and you think, I got a shot. He's standing up.
Oh, he's going to stand
up.
Oh, this is awesome. He's going to stand up. I mean, he's got that much respect for me. He's going to stand up and give me an autograph. And I got there, and all of a sudden he went, get the F off the bus. And then I step back down, and my two friends goes, what did he say? And I said, he told me to get the F off the bus. They go, that's awesome. That's better than an autograph. So don't do that if you're trying to get an autograph. All right. More phone calls coming up. We'll dive into the NFL and what happened yesterday. And no, the Jets, if the Jets and the Jags both lose their final two games, the Jets will not get the – there's no way strength of schedule they can get the number one pick. We looked at strength of schedule. If they have the same record, the Jags get the number one overall pick. We've talked a lot about college football and, you know, the playoffs. Now we have the bowl games. Who can play? South Carolina's got two wins. They're playing in a bowl game. Army is 9-2. They're not playing in a bowl game, and their head coach, Jeff Monken, joins us on the program. Coach, thanks for joining us. So explain this to me and how you explained it to your kids. They're not playing in a bowl game.
Well, first, I got to give you, can I give you an autograph story? Because I love your autograph story.
Sure, sure.
So I was an autograph seeker as a kid. Like you, go to the ball games, hang out along the third baseline or the first baseline by the dugouts. So I want to tell you two stories about autographs. One was J.R. Richards, so the pitcher for the Astros. Got an autograph before he had a stroke and after he had a stroke. I thought that was pretty cool. He's a great pitcher. Admired him and his career. But my favorite autograph was from Don Sutton. Now, he wasn't my favorite player growing up, but kind of like you, I had a little conversation with Don on the third baseline out in right field at the Astrodome when I was about 12 years old. And he's coming along, and Don Sutton's a great pitcher. And I said, "Oh, Mr. Sutton, can I have your autograph?" And he comes over and he said, "You know, you got to say please." He said, "You know, manners always counts." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to get your autograph. I got good manners. I was just so excited to get your autograph. I'm sorry I yelled at you." And he said, "Don't convince me, show me." Oh. And I've never forgotten that he said that. And I still use that today. I've used it for my entire career. When a guy talks about doing something and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do better, I say, "Don't convince me, show me." And I've shared with him where I got that quote. So I got Don Sutton to thank for that quote. But getting to our bowl game and you know, we've had a great year. I'm so proud of our guys. We've had two very emotional weeks playing the Army-Navy game and then coming right back to play for the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy this past Saturday here at West Point against Air Force. And our guys just battled and did a great job. And we were really looking forward to the opportunity to play in the postseason. We've been set up to play in the Independence Bowl for over a year and have been looking forward to that. Like everybody, the reward of playing in the postseason in college football. And as the day went along yesterday and we realized that we were kind of getting pushed out, and I understand why, and I'm not mad at the system. It's a system that's created lots and lots of opportunities for teams to play. It's the same system that really kept us from having a guarantee yesterday. But there's a lot of teams that have had a chance to play, and I'm not mad at the 2-win teams or the 3-win teams that are playing. In fact, I commend them that they are taking the opportunity to play this great game. What I'm disappointed is the teams that had a chance to play, they clamored for the opportunity to play this fall, are now deciding they don't want to play. I don't understand it. And we've got a team who is deserving of playing in a bowl game. They're a great team. They're not the most talented team in the country, not the most talented team I've coached, but they're the best team I've coached. And they're a group of young men who have made a pledge of commitment to serve this nation. And we've got seniors who have earned the opportunity to play in a bowl game who were in tears last night. 6 months from now, they're gonna take a pledge to serve in the United States Army and ultimately are willing to pay the ultimate price for us to enjoy the freedoms we have and the way of life that we enjoy, to play this game and to have the right to say, "Yes, I want to play," or "No, I don't want to play." But when there's a team like that, that is uniquely positioned to represent the 1.3 million men and women who serve on active duty in our United States Army, they deserve the opportunity to not just play for themselves, but to represent those men and women. And I hear all that we've been through, it's always for all this team has been through this year, we're just deciding to opt out. Well, I challenge, for all that our soldiers have been through and all that their families have been through, for families who have had loved ones deployed for a year or more and been away from their families and will spend this holiday season away from their families, we owe it to them to represent them. And we want the opportunity to do that. We're hoping that there'll somehow there'll be a chance, but I talked to our guys about it. I told them the truth on how it got to this point. They were obviously disappointed, but what they said was, "Coach, if we got a chance, then let us continue to prepare and get ready." And that's what we've done all year. We've just prepared. We're not planned. We had a 12-game schedule in July, and we played three of those original teams, but still managed to play 11 games. We've prepared, not planned. And it's what an infantry unit does. They prepare, they don't plan. They don't know when the battle's coming. They don't know what the weather's going to be. They don't know how many bad guys are going to be on the other side, what their firepower is, but they're going to be prepared. And our country can be proud to know that we've got soldiers out there that are protecting our freedoms and our way of life. And then we've got football players who are playing on this team that have made that same commitment. So our guys are just a great bunch of guys. So we're going to stay here for the next few days. We're going to figure out if we get a chance to play and see what comes of it.
How important is it for the coach at the academy to have been through the academy to understand what these men and women go through, to kind of understand what their schedule is, their life is, what happens after they graduate, get deployed? Like there's a whole lot that goes into this, coach, that it's not just come on in and play some football for me.
It is. And it's important that we all understand that and embrace that. And it's one of the things I love about West Point. I've had the opportunity to serve as a coach at two of our service academies. And it's been a great pleasure, my career, to be able to do that, to serve these young men and women who are going to serve our nation. And I didn't go to school here, but I'm proud to represent our United States Army in this way and to serve in this way, to develop the leaders of character that our Army needs and deserves to lead our soldiers. And I understand this place, and I embrace what we are as an institution. And I know our players realize that about me, that though I didn't experience this, that I understand their life and their commitment. And when we do bring a young man in here, it's not just all about football, but that's what makes them so special.
But also, it's one thing to say goodbye to a senior. This is different. When you say goodbye to your seniors, you don't know what's going to happen to them. It's not like, hey, I'll keep an eye on you in the NFL, or, you know, you get a job as an accountant somewhere. You're saying goodbye to men who you might be saying goodbye to.
They may have to pay the ultimate price, but they've made that choice and they've made that commitment. And, you know, all of us should be incredibly thankful for every man, woman in this nation that takes that pledge. And there are millions of Americans who have taken that pledge and currently serve, and those that will take that pledge. And our guys do too. And, our guys go into all walks of life. They go into all different kinds of jobs in the Army. They don't all have the same job, but they've all made the same commitment. And I'm really proud of them. And I would love to see them be rewarded with this opportunity of a bowl game. They desperately want to play.
And hopefully we can give even more publicity to this. And we appreciate your coming on, and we're happy to be able to help facilitate this so they do get a chance. And maybe there's a school that opts out that they can't play and you guys slide in. You guys have certainly been ready to play anybody, anywhere. And I brought this up when you'll get people who will say, well, you know, these teams that aren't in the Power Five conferences, they can't really play with the big boys. And I always bring up when Army went to Oklahoma a couple of years ago and they had Kyler Murray and you took him into overtime. So I don't want to hear, oh, you know, those smaller schools can't stick with the big guys. I don't know how you did it that day, but you did it.
Well, this team in the last 3 years has taken two top 10 teams to overtime and double overtime at Michigan a year ago. And I assure you that it wasn't because of our talent. We got some talented guys. We got some good football players, but our guys just play really hard. They play together. They care deeply for each other. There's a sense of brotherhood in this program that's unlike any team I've ever been a part of. And it's because of the shared experience that they'll have after they graduate that creates a bond in this team. And we didn't win either of those games. So I guess they're right. We weren't able to finish the job, but we've won some Power Five games here since I've been here as the head coach. And we're going to have a chance to play some more, and hopefully we'll be able to come away with some victories. But you know, just the spirit of this team and what they mean to this country, I think is great for college football. I think it's obviously great for our players, but for those men and women that we represent, I think it's important that we play and not just say, hey, we're going to opt out.
Well, you can't give up. I mean, that's who you are. You know, hopefully I'll get a chance to get up there next season. I appreciate the invitation that I got for the Army-Navy game. I got a compromised immune system, and Probably the last person who should be traveling anywhere. But that game means that much to me that I wanted to be there to experience it. So congratulations on the season. And hopefully there's somebody listening who says, you're right, that Army should be playing in a bowl game this year, Coach. So thank you, and our best to you.
Same to you. Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Army-Navy game next year.
All right. Coach Monken, yeah, we're ready to go. After that speech, damn, now I'm really mad that Army's not playing a bowl game. Yeah, I that would be great. I mean, rewarding them to get 11 games in, and we had Coach on, and we looked at their schedule, and it was full of holes. They had no opponents. I think they had, like, we're going to play whoever we can play, whenever we can play them. And I think they had 3 games scheduled. And here they are. They got 11 games. So, pretty amazing. Best and worst of the weekend, Nate in Oklahoma. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Dan. I just wanted to give my best and worst. You know, the best, the Titans finally breaking that streak of 9-7 seasons. That was great. Worst, obviously, being the Colts continuing to win. We really can't widen that gap in AFC South, so that's kind of rough come up with the Packers. And also wanted to touch on, you mentioned not giving a running back the second contract. You know, Tony Pollard did fantastic yesterday.
Yes.
But I really would not give up Derrick Henry on the Titans. All right.
No, and I understand that. And he's sort of the outlier there. But I said Pollard is as equal to Zeke. I mean, in my opinion, absolutely. And thought that last year. You know, he can catch the ball. He's quicker. He's certainly cheaper. But Derrick Henry's a different monster, certainly this time of the year. Chiefs, they have a clear path, home field advantage. Steelers have clinched a playoff spot. Bills clinched the East. The Titans own the division tiebreaker over the Colts. Colts still have a chance in the South. The Browns closing in on a playoff berth. And the Dolphins own the last wild card thanks to conference record tiebreaker over the Ravens. The Ravens are a game clear of the rest, but they lose the tiebreaker to Miami right now. The Raiders, 2 games out in the wild card race with 2 games to go. In the NFC, Packers clear path, home field advantage. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has ever had home field advantage throughout in his career in Green Bay. Saints clinched a playoff berth already. The Seahawks are first in the NFC West at 10-4. Washington at 6-8 leads the NFC East. The Rams lead Tampa in the wild card race based off of a tiebreaker at 9-5. The Buccaneers 9-5, so they're well positioned for a tiebreaker. And then the Cardinals are 1 game ahead for that final wild card spot. Although Chris Sims joined us in the first hour, and he said he's taken the Bears at 7-7 to edge out the Cardinals for that final wild card playoff spot. We'll take a break here. More phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. All righty. More phone calls coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. You know, if you're a Jets fan, you probably have mixed emotions. Although most of those emotions would be, how could we possibly screw up this season any more than we have? We did it. We won a game. Mekhi Becton, he is the Jets offensive lineman. He had this to say after yesterday's win over the Rams.
What do you say to the fans who wanted you guys for that number one pick to keep on losing? What do you say to fans?
Now, he ain't really a fan if he wants to win, honestly. I mean that in the nicest way possible. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I mean, if you wanted us to lose, you're not a real fan, honestly. We don't work too hard to just go out there and just take a loss every week.
Well, there are quite a few Jets fans and big-name Jets fans. Hank Azaria is one of our favorites. He, of course, gave us Brockmire. The actor-comedian does a lot of voices on The Simpsons, and he is a Jets fan. And Hank joins us now. Hank, how do you feel today?
Well, Mekhi, I mean, you're right, Dan. Mixed emotions, and the emotions that are mixed are despair and anger is the mix.
How did you feel watching that game?
It's been insane watching the Jets this season because definitely rooting for them to lose. But it really goes beyond that. I mean, Mekhi is dead wrong. It's been this weird thing, I swear, where I am so passionately rooting against the Jets that my favorite team that week is whoever's playing against the Jets, which is a tremendous win-win, because until this week, I now always win, as opposed to being a Jet fan up until now, I almost always lose. But when, I mean, look, this was inevitable, I guess. I mean, they should have won that Raider game. They almost beat the Patriots. They almost beat the Broncos. They're lucky. They only won the one game, I should say. But it's been a really almost psychotic season for me.
But it almost feels like this was your Patrick Ewing if you're the Knicks. Like you have a chance. We're bad. We won the lottery. We get Patrick Ewing. You know, it didn't pay off in a championship, but you became relevant. Like the Jets aren't relevant, haven't been relevant in quite some time here. And it's Jetsian to try to, you know, you're bad, but you're not bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence here.
Exactly. I mean, look, this is, you know, but this is just it for a Jet fan, Jets, Mets, Knicks fan, by the way. I mean, this is like saying, are you surprised that Lucy didn't let Charlie Brown kick the football? You know, you're bummed, but no. Let's say a little quiz, Dan.
Okay.
So let's go with that metaphor. Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football. In this scenario with the Jets win yesterday, who's Charlie Brown, who's Lucy, and who's the football? See if you can guess.
I don't like word problems, Hank. The Jets fans are the football.
No. Jets fans are Charlie Brown.
Oh, okay.
Who's Lucy?
Tom Brady and the Patriots.
that would have been true in years past. But no, Lucy is the Jets themselves. It's the Jets organization. And the football, I'll accept either answer. I'd either accept just the football, since we're talking about football. Football is the football. Or the football could represent joy in life, actual happiness.
Okay. So recap now. Lucy, yeah. Charlie Brown in the football represents...
All Jets fans, including myself, are Charlie Brown, poor, sad Charlie Brown, who can't ever get it right. And Lucy, evil Lucy, are the Jets organization, who just snatch joy away from us always. And the football is either the football or actual joy in living.
Now, I think I've seen a picture of you with Sam Darnold. Are you a Sam Darnold guy? But you were willing, like you were, do you have a relationship that you can see other quarterbacks?
That's actually Jim Brockmeyer, if you notice, with Sam Darnold. It's Brockmeyer right there. See, that's not me. That's Brockmeyer. And I was backstage. I believe I was doing Get Up or something. Get Up, Get Down, Morning Cold Pizza, Stop Yourself, Don't Touch Me, one of these shows. I think it was Don't Touch Me.
How would Brockmeyer have called the final seconds of the Jets beating the Rams yesterday?
Well, I think they just put up in one long wail and moan, like a banshee wail. But I've been working on this. So I emailed this to Fritz. I want Brockmeyer to, Brockmeyer is famous for saying that the Mets are the Yankees of not being the Yankees. Okay. I want to expand on this, that the Jets are the LeBron James of being worse than the Knicks. And the Knicks are the Patrick Mahomes of being the Knicks, of being themselves. It's a lot of math. I'm giving you a lot of math.
I know. Word problems here. I didn't think Brockmeyer was that deep.
Yeah, I've given this all a lot of thought.
Only after he's been drinking is he that deep.
Yeah, only after.
Well, keep your head up, though.
This is just par for. Can I tell you how every year goes for me? Can I share with you as a Jets, Mets, Knicks fan? So we're in December. We're almost at the end of the year. By now, I have definitely given up on the Jets. Usually that's by Thanksgiving at the outside.
Yeah.
This year was weird because we had this weird Trevor Lawrence hope. Now that's destroyed pretty much, almost for sure. So then around this time of year, you turn to the Knicks. Go, well, let's see what the Knicks can do, right? We'll see what happens. By, I'd say, February, that's not going to really happen with the Knicks anymore. So you're off the Knicks. But you got spring training, so you look forward to, well, let's see what the Mets got going on this year. That dream usually is done by the All-Star break by July, maybe August, just about in time to say, well, let's see what the Jets have going on this year. On and on and on until I die, Dan.
You're on this loop. It's just you'll never get out of that loop. I was wondering, though, could the Simpsons do an episode of the Jets? How much sports do the Simpsons do?
Well, every once in a while, one of the most famous classic episodes is that Homer at the Bat episode, which is actually featured in like the Baseball Hall of Fame right now, where we had all these baseball players. A great episode. Every once in a while, they touch on sports. But actually, I'm going to ask for like a Jets, Mets, Knicks.
But who does Homer root for? I mean, he's in the Midwest. He's probably a Chiefs fan, wouldn't he be?
Well, the local minor league team is the Springfield Isotopes. And that's who Homer's a fan of, which I think they actually did name. I think there's actually a real team in the Isotopes.
They're in Texas, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the Isotopes. And I thought that's such a great nickname. Like, there's nobody who's known as the Isotopes other than the Isotopes. But if you had Homer somehow screw up the Jets, went, you know, like this would have been perfect. Like Homer somehow would have cost the Jets yesterday against the Rams and they don't get Trevor Lawrence. And you could have Trevor Lawrence would look great in a cartoon with the flowing hair there. I don't mean to tell the geniuses at Simpsons how to do their job, but, you know, but you're noodling this. So maybe Matt would be interested in at least you guys. I mean, come on. After all these years, you got to. You're running out
I'll pass
of ideas.
It along. It'll be therapeutic for me. Yeah. And God knows we've done an episode about everything else. Well, I got to circle back to Mekhi Becton for a second. Okay. That was absurd and terrible what he said. I mean, of course we understand. No one expects the players to tank. Nobody expects Mekhi Becton or anybody, not or Sam Darnold, not to try. You know, and they almost, so no one would ever fault them or to be happy that they won a game. But you got to at least tip your hat to the – I guess he's too young to understand.
Yeah, but he's got to have Sam Darnold's back. Like, literally, he has his back. I mean, Sam Darnold wins, he can keep his job, Hank.
You can't say to Jet fans, you're not a true fan if you were rooting for the Jets to lose. You can say, I understand how Jets fans could feel that way, but you got to understand we're trying to win every game we can. We got our jobs and our lives on the line here. No one would fault him for that, but you're not a true fan? Come on now.
I don't think you'd say it to Mekhi Becton's face, though.
I would through a Zoom.
That's a big man that you'd be saying – I think what you said is really stupid. All right. You know,
I didn't say it was stupid.
I know, but that was the feeling I got. Does this conversation make you feel better? Was this cathartic in any way for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel very privileged that I get to, you know, speak to the likes of you, like whine to the likes of you about my Jets, Mets, Knicks sadness.
Does your wife understand this?
Oh God, she's a Philadelphia fan, so my house is horrible for me.
Well, yeah, she's used to heartache too.
Yeah, but you know, my father-in-law, who's a lovely guy, talks like he says goodbye to me on the phone. This is how he says goodbye. He goes, "All right, I love you. Mets suck." He says goodbye.
Well, with that, I'll say goodbye to you, Hank, and happy holidays, and Mets suck.
Aw, that actually made me feel warm inside.
Thank you, Hank. It's great to talk to you.
You too, Dan. Happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you, buddy. That's Hank Azaria. Of course, was Brock Meyer and the great voices on The Simpsons. I don't know how many voices, but quite a few of them. Yes, Paulie.
You know, Hank Azaria, it just shows that no matter where you are in life, I think he makes like over $250,000 an episode of The Simpsons, maybe more than that. He's still got sports pain, no matter where, what station you are in life.
Wait, he gets paid what?
I think $300,000 an episode of The Simpsons. And I might be low.
$300,000. Wow.
Plus ownership.
Wow.
He could buy the Jets. Wow. He and his Simpsons buddies.
And they're still cranking. Simpsons still cranking out episodes. Yeah, McLovin.
Usually in New York, you have the Giants and Yankees fans who like held their head above all the Jets, Mets fans. Can they still do that, though? I don't know where they stand either.
Well, I don't know how proud you would be, because usually it's the Giants and the Yankees and the Rangers. And then it's the Islanders, Mets, and the Jets. Yeah, I don't know if New York fans are holding their head high. Although the Islanders were a playoff team last year, right? But I don't, you know. Yes, McLeod.
Is Brooklyn the best team in the city right now? I mean, the Yankees are good too, but is Brooklyn the bandwagon that everyone should jump on?
Oh, I don't know if you jump on it, but it feels like if you do jump on it, it could be a very prosperous, bumpy ride, or just, you know, a disastrous, bumpy ride. Yeah, Paulie.
Dan, you may like this. We're going to do career salary game. The actors on The Simpsons, there's basically four or five that are the main ones. Dan Castellaneta, I don't know how to pronounce the names. Julie Kavner, Hank, Yeardley Smith. Those are like the big four. Career salary off The Simpsons. They're all about equal. Who wants a shot at it?
Of how much each individual has made?
How much the main voiceover actors on The Simpsons have made off The Simpsons in their career, which is like 30 years, I guess, closest to the hole. Here we go.
$25 million each.
You're way low. Yeah. Way, way low.
Okay.
I looked this up earlier, because there's like one thing that I almost always do is when we have somebody on, I look up what they've made and what their house looks like, which is really the origins of career salary game, and I'm obsessed with all this stuff. But their real estate portfolios are equally as impressive as their so far net worth.
$75 million?
You're right there. By the end of this season, this next contract, they'll have made $90 million apiece. Simpsons-wise.
That's a lot of money.
Thank you.
I just got sued for doing that.
Wow. 90 mil a piece. And then what are the owners, though, or the creators? Creators always make the money.
The creators back in the day, if you look back at it, they had a lot of the merchandising money. They, you know, the actors didn't get a bunch of the merchandising money, and that's where a lot of it was in the first decade.
Well, remember Sam Simon? He was one of the originals, and he has since passed away, but he lived in Hawaii. And didn't he marry Meg Tillis? Jennifer Tilly.
And she got half.
Yeah, and I think it was like, I don't know, $100 million or something. Something crazy that she got. And just by being married to Sam. Yes, McLeod.
And Jim Brooks, who obviously directed Broadcast News, the best movie ever, in terms of endearment, was one of the three originals, too.
Yeah, pretty amazing. All right, let me take a break. Last call for phone calls. We'll close up shop after this in the Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you ordered anything on danpatrick.com, whether it's calendars, t-shirts, hoodies, after the 18th, there's no guarantee it'll be there in time for Christmas. I just want everybody to know we've been telling you that. Hopefully you got a chance to go there, find some things. There's some great gifts there as well. But good luck with that, and hopefully it arrives on time. All right, you know, I just went out in the man cave. And we're giving away that Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. And it's out there now. And it is awesome. Todd and I are going to take a tour of it. Oh, in fact, if you're watching on Peacock, we have the in-house camera there. And they rolled it in. And that thing came from California. It is gorgeous. Yes, Paulie.
How legit would this thing be for tailgating?
Oh, embarrassingly great.
Wow.
Like, there's a grill on the back. It's got all of these monitors. It's got an awning that comes out. It looks like it's right out of Mission Impossible, the wrap on it. And I'm not eligible to win. None of us are eligible to win, but everybody else is. Doesn't cost you anything. Go to danpatrick.com. All the details there are foxsportsradio.com. All the details. Doesn't cost you anything. It's our way of saying thank you with the help of Mercedes who they have been a great, great title sponsor here on the program. Let me see. Get a couple more phone calls in here. Jeremy in Wisconsin. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Patrick. How you doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, first thing I always wanted to share, it's an honor knowing that I've stepped foot on possibly where, well, so I went to Eastern Kentucky University, and it's an honor knowing that I may have very possibly stepped on grounds, hallowed grounds of where you had passed at one point. So I always wanted to share that. Go Colonels.
Okay.
So my best of the weekend is knowing that, you know, with all the crazy that has happened throughout the year with COVID, that we're still going to have a lot of bowl games. I think this is truly one of the greatest times of the year. I would watch every bowl game and will plan on watching every bowl game. So I think that's great. But with that being said, you know, we're missing out. So my worst of the weekend is there's no State Bowl, and we're not going to be able to see potentially University of Wisconsin Oshkosh represent our little town here in Wisconsin and play in the State Bowl. But also, I just learned this morning of, you know, Army not being eligible for a bowl or not playing in a bowl as well. And as a soldier of 22 years, still enlisted, you know, knowing that our officers and future leaders aren't going to have that last opportunity to represent the Black Knights. And we always kind of, or at least I have, always held, you know, officers in such high regard, but especially those that attended West Point. And so it's kind of a bummer for them. So
Jeremy, it's not over. Jeremy, it's not over yet. You know, we're going to do our best to continue to publicize this, and Army should be playing in a bowl game. And thanks for the phone call. Thank you for your service. At 9-2, they hopefully will get that opportunity here. And, you know, that's why I said to Fritzy, let's have Coach on. And if we can give this a little bit more oomph, then we're more than happy to do it. Because, you know, when they end a football career, it's a little bit different than somebody else ending a football career. And to celebrate that, and you're a senior, you beat Navy, you beat Air Force, and hopefully you get a chance to play one more game. Given all the bowl games, I don't think that's asking an awful lot. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, what up, though? One time for chat, bro. Not that New York needs to be have somebody to stand up for him, but that Mekhi Becton, just his statement was crazy because I know Jet fans, and the thing about it is you're a paid employee. You haven't been there through all the heartache. Jet fans and Lions fans kind of know what it is not to win, not to, you know, go to a championship game. So, you know, with that situation, man, just sit down and keep your comments to yourself like that. Not real fans. Come on, dude. Really? They've been losing forever. So, and this is just crazy. Best and worst of the weekend. Enjoy football knowing that the Lions were out. I really did enjoy Sunday's slate of games. Mecole Hardman's catch in the end zone, painted that thing, man. It was really nice. And my worst, college football. Four words, ridiculous. That's sad, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Always good to hear from Jeff. You know, I watched Elf last night. Man, that still holds up. I had this weird weekend that I was just flipping around watching a million things. And at one point, I think on Friday night, I'm watching Brock Purdy's high school championship game. And he, of course, is the Iowa State quarterback. And I text the Danettes. I go, what is wrong with me? I'm watching Brock Purdy's high school football game. And I didn't feel ashamed. I'm like, all right. I'm okay with this. Like, yeah, so what? It's, you know, 4 years old. Yeah, Seton.
I like that there's these moments, though, when you're sitting at home by yourself that you're like, what the hell am I doing?
I have a few of those. I was watching.
What am I doing right now?
I was watching preseason basketball, NBA, and I'm going, why am I watching this? Watching the Hawks, like, the you know, this is the NBA Finals.
And it's 17-11 or something like this. You didn't even put it on when it was like 89, 86.
Yeah, I'm sizing up, you know, the Hawks lineup here coming up to start the season. Oh, man, I got a problem. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
Got a few. 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. 1959, Tom Landry accepted the head coaching position with the Dallas Cowboys. 29 years as the head coach there. 1969, Vince Lombardi coached his last game. His Redskins lost to the Cowboys 20-10. And in 1975, for the Jets fans, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards rushing.
Didn't John have a mohawk?
Oh, yeah, with the Jets.
Yeah, he shaved his head. Except
a frohawk.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, you know, curls.
Yeah, John Riggins. Yeah, that was a big deal. But, you know, John had his best days, obviously, when he was with the Redskins. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Where should Trevor Lawrence play next year? 57% say the Jags. Clemson, second place, 25%. Jets, distant last place.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like it's going to be Jacksonville. Unless, you know, they somehow screw this thing up, too. Yeah. Imagine your fan base wants you to lose. They're mad if you win. Even if you play well and make it close. Yeah, McLovin.
I can't wait to hear the number two debate. Is that going to be the big story of the spring?
That will be, yes, heading into the combine. Because I don't think Justin Fields has separated himself here. The way he did the previous year when he looked great. And there's going to be buyer beware because of what happened with Dwayne Haskins, where he was unbelievable that one year at Ohio State. Yes, Todd?
If there were a bunch of fans at Jets games throughout the seasons, would they have been booing touchdowns and cheering interceptions and every time something terrible happened to the Jets? I'm very curious how awkward that would be.
What did you learn today, Todd?
Army head coach Jeff Monk is holding out hope a team will emerge ready, willing, and able to play them in a bowl game.
Yeah, hope they get a chance. McLovin?
Hank Azaria has mixed emotions about the Jets win. Those mixed emotions are anger and despair.
Seton O'Connor.
I think Paul may have successfully stolen back his bit from Fritzy.
Yeah, about time. Paul, what'd you learn today?
Fritzy will steal some type of Walter Payton or Rush tribute.
It's coming. It's coming.
Tomorrow.
What did I learn today, Todd?
Chris Sims would give his vote to Trevor Lawrence for the Heisman Trophy.
What we learned brought to you by Masterclass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. And the best part is, this holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership for free. Two for the price of one. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support for all of us here. Happy to have you on board. Talk to you tomorrow.